open your Bibles up to Matthew, the book of Matthew, and let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, notice here that it says, you know, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Let me give that one to you in the message here. It says, it's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Isn't that true? Come on, the place that you most want to be, that's where you'll end up being. A lot of the times folks say, well, I wanted to be at church, or I wanted to be here, or wanted to be there. The thing about it is, most of the time you're where you want to be. Come on now. You know, because most of the time if we really want to be somewhere, we make an effort to be there. Come on, anybody besides me ever break a speed limit trying to get somewhere they needed to be? I think most of us have probably been there. Some are not holding their hands up. Maybe some of you are. Maybe, you know, respect the law and that thing. But I'm kind of bad. If I need to be there, I want to be there. And I don't like to be late. I am late sometimes. Don't like to be late. And especially don't like to be habitually late for anything. And so, you know, but it says the place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. So we have to just sit in our, where is our treasure? Where is it that we want to be? Well, I mean, you're here this morning, so I believe your heart was, I want to be in church in the morning. I think you made that decision last night. You're going to be in church this morning. Now, I realize things happen, things come up. But, you know, our heart ought to always be wanting to be in the house of God with our brothers and sisters. Now, when you get down there to that last verse there in verse 24, let me give that to you in Amplified. Because here's what it says. It says, you cannot serve God and mammon. And then, of course, the Amplified expounds on that. So it says, you cannot serve God and deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever it is trusted in. In other words, you can't serve something that you trust in and God. You have to serve God first. Notice that. And, you know, and of course, King James says, you know, you'll love one and hate the other. You can't live in the world and still love God. Come on now. It's just I know that makes folks uncomfortable, but if we love God, we're going to want to live in God's kingdom with Him. Now, we can still believe in God and live in the world, because a lot of people believe in God, but they've not become children of God yet. But you can't really love God and not live in His kingdom with Him and be with Him and make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. That's how you know, I loved my wife, and that's why I wanted to get married, and so that we could live together. Amen. I loved her, so I wanted to. Now, if I didn't love her, we might have could have just dated. You know. And a lot of folks, unfortunately, they just get date God. Come see Him every now and then. Come on now, isn't that true? A lot of folks don't really have a relationship with Him. And God says, you know, You can't love two masters. You can only have one. And that's either God or the devil. And so you have to make up your mind. Now let me show you something over here in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1. Here's what he says, Paul writing to the church. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Notice that. Then he goes on and he says this, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. So here Paul's writing, he says, listen, if you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you be risen with Christ, then you need to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Things that have a heavenly value, not a things that have an earthly value. Now, I understand we live on this earth and God doesn't mind for us having wealth. He doesn't mind for us accumulating things. Well, what Paul's trying to say is this. These can't be the things that our life consists of. This can't be the things that we put first place in our life. God must be first place in our life in everything. The other things, they'll come along, right? The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let me give you that those scriptures right there from the Message Bible. It says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Boy, I could just stop right there and preach a while. If we're serious about living this resurrection life, if we're serious about it being Christian, if we're serious about being born again, we ought to act like it. People ought not have to guess whether or not we're a child of God, whether we're a Christian or not. They ought to be able to see it in our actions. Amen. A funny story. I never even told Pastorette yesterday. We had a doctor's appointment. We went and we came. She said, I'm thirsty. Okay. So we come in. We're in the wrong lane. There's a McDonald's. She likes the Diet Pepsi from McDonald's. She says it's better than anybody else's. Diet Coke, I'm sorry. Diet Coke. And so we were in this lane and we couldn't get it. It was over here and I couldn't get turned off. I said, well, I'll stop up here at the station and get you one. So I pulled off up in Winchester there in the station, you know, to my knowledge, I'd never stopped there before. And so I just parked and ran over, went in the door. And when I walked in the door, I started looking around. There wasn't any pop in that place. The store was two-sided. And one side was the liquor store. Guess where your pastor was at? And I thought to myself, you know, somebody just saw me walk in here. As innocent as this was, you know what they'd have been saying. I saw a pastor down at Winchester where nobody don't know him in the liquor store. I came out of that place in a hurry. I forgot to tell her. I went into the liquor store first. And I shot out and got over there and got her a Diet Coke. A little embarrassing, but you know, I mean, I am 64 coming up in May. So, yeah, I'm allowed to go in the wrong door every now and then maybe, okay? Act like you're a child of God, he says, if you're serious about this. Verse SC, where are we at now? It says, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death. Sexual prospicuity, I can't say that right. Impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like it, whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. Notice that. Notice with the sexual stuff and all that, that the writer adds doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. You know, look at that. Grabbing whatever attracts your fancy. You know, a lot of people live their lives like that. They think that as long as it feels all right, it's okay. But you know, I'm going to tell you the only thing that's right is what the Word of God says is right. You know, I mean, we've dealt with now for a lot of years this whole thing about love. Well, you know, if you love somebody, that's all that matters. No, there is a godly love, a proper love, and then there's a lustful love. Amen. You know, and if it's not godly love, most likely it's lust that people call love. And the truth is, a lot of folks fall in lust and don't fall in love, and then they say, well, we just fell out of love. No, you didn't. You got used to being together, and so the lust, the excitement of the lust wore off, and now you don't know what to do with yourself. Amen. It's true. You know, I mean, you know, when you love somebody, you love them through the good, the bad. Come on, the thick, the thin. Right? Come on, Pastorette and I are coming up on our anniversary. How many years did we say it was, Pastorette? What? 46. Are you sure? See, I'm stalling because I'm counting in my head. We got married in 70. We got married in 79. So how many years was it, you mathematicians? 46. See, she's right on there. Yeah. Okay. We've been married 46 years. And through that time, because we love each other, we've been through some stuff. Been through some stuff. She should have left me a long time ago. I'm just telling you the truth. But she was a godly woman who loved me. So you're looking, I ain't always been a pastor, okay? I have a past just like you have a past. But she stuck with me. As time went on, there was times that, you know, she had some medical problems and we've stuck through those things, and I've had to be her doctor at times, and you know, she had to trust me to be her doctor to get her, you know, she's had both of her knees replaced. That was an ordeal. I had to be the nurse on that, you know. Had to help. I was her physical therapist on that, right? And Lillian helped too. She was just a little baby. But that leg machine that they sent home with her when they had the legs done, I hope I don't bore you guys, but that leg machine they sent home, it would automatically plug it in and it moved that leg. And you adjusted how much tension it would have on it. Okay? Yeah. So, guess whose job it was to turn it up? Mine. Okay. And so, but I'd be kind. I'd say, how far you want it? And she'd say, she's always been, man, for y'all that's ever rode four wheelers with her, you know she pushes the limits on everything. So she would say, turn it to so and so. And you could watch that thing start raising that leg up. And when that leg gets so far, she'd start going, oh, oh, oh. You know, it's like that. Lily was just little. And Lily would crawl up in the bed and get right beside her and go, oh, 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 you know, right with her. I could, you know, it was that kind of funny thing, you know. I've had to doctor her before, and when she had, they messed up with a surgery on her, and so I ended up doctoring her from the fact of being able to see stitches in her stomach muscles all the way till she was completely healed with an open wound. Now listen, if you don't love somebody, that'd be a hard thing to do. But when you love somebody, it's no deal. She hated it. She said, I hate for you to have to do that. Why? We're in this thing for life. You know, and then as of late, she's been doing a few things for me. And, you know, she's known a little bit more squeamish than what I was, though. You know, and she's like, I don't know why. So, but I'm saying, I did it for you. You got to do it for me now. And she loves me enough to where she does against all odds, right, babe? So, you know, when you love somebody, it's not about just feeling like it, and it's not lust. It's actual having that heart for somebody. And that's the way it is with God. We love God. We have a heart for God. And we want to do whatever will please Him, right? That's the thing. It's important that what we do in this life pleases God. That's the most important thing you can do, is please God through this life. Now, God wants you to make accomplishments. He wants you to have a good life. But while you're doing that, He wants you to do the things that are pleasing to Him. I'm going to show it to you. Look here in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. It says this, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." See, it's when we look at this, he's basically saying this, talk's cheap. It's actions that matter. Right? I mean, yeah. How many? I know right now, I'll bet you a dollar you can think of somebody that you hear them talking all the time how good a Christian they are and how much they love God, and you haven't seen them forever in church. They got a good social media presence, you know. Anytime anything happens, they'll put up their little prayer hands. Probably don't say a prayer, but they put up the prayer hands. Come on, don't get mad at me because I'm telling the truth here, right? Come on, we know how it works. But just talking, I mean, it's the actions that matter. Okay? In Luke chapter 6, you don't have to turn there. I can read it or you can turn to either one. Luke 6:46, here's what the Lord said. He had some come to Him and He says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he's like. He's like a man which built a house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Notice it says, when you do what God says, you're going to stand. You'll be solid. You can weather the storms. But if you're not a doer of the word, you're going to end up in ruin. You see, it's all about making sure right now that you're getting prepared for heaven. Now's the time to prepare for heaven. You don't wait until your last breath and hopefully you make it. "Seek me early while you may be found," he says. I started thinking about this, and I've used it before, but it's just an illustration I like. How many of y'all remember Aesop's fable, The Ant and the Grasshopper? Hands, show of hands. Anybody remember? A few people remember. Well, anyway, that's most of us older folk, maybe, you know. But anyway, the story goes like this. There was a grasshopper out, and he was dancing along, beautiful summer day, just having a big time, dancing merrily, just singing, just enjoying the summer day. And he come up on an ant, and that ant had some food carrying a big, and it was, you know, ants carry things much bigger than them, but he had this big heavy load take. And the grasshopper said, "What are you doing carrying that?" And the ant said, "Well, wintertime's going to come, and I've got to go ahead and get things ready before winter." And the grasshopper said, "You've got all kind. Why, you ought to just come on and dance with me and let's enjoy the day." And he said, "I've got work to do." And he goes on about doing his work. Grasshopper still dancing around, playing around. He runs into some more ants. There they are, carrying stuff back to their nest. He says, "What are you guys doing working so hard?" They said, "We've got to get prepared. Wintertime will be here before long. We've got to make sure we're ready before it comes." And he, "Oh, you've got plenty of time." And so he just goes on, you know. And all of a sudden, the grasshopper wakes up one morning. And when he wakes up, the ground is covered in snow. It's cold. And he can't find anything to eat because now everything's covered in the snow. And he's trying to find something to eat. And he comes by where the ant colony's at. And he looks in and he sees the ants in there. They're warm. They've got plenty to eat. And they're doing well. Now I'm going to give you the real version, okay? Because there's a watered-down version, of course. There's a woke version of this thing. The woke version says, "And they invited him in, took care of him, kept him all winter." That's not what the original says. The original says that the ants, when he went and asked for food, he said, "Can I have some of your food?" The ants said, "No, you cannot. You had time to prepare just like we did, and now you'll have to go without and make it on your own. See, that's the truth. That is a real truth in life. Okay? I mean, I understand the world's tried to water things down and make it look how, and you can look at that as a funny way, but you know, you have to understand that choices you make matter. The grasshopper waited too late. He waited till it was upon him. I'm going to tell you something right now, and you just can ponder on this. Jesus is coming. He is coming. Now, you can be like the grasshopper and just play and play and play and play until he's split in the eastern sky, and it'll be too late. Or you can be like the ant and say, you know what? I got to get ready. I got to give my life to Jesus. I got to be ready for heaven. So when Jesus raptures the church out, I'm going to. See, it's important, church, that if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to be born again believers, we ought to be living it. We ought to be acting like it. We ought to be every day thinking about the fact that if Jesus came today, I'm ready. Amen. I don't mean you don't got to just sit around all day going, You can live a godly life and still enjoy this life. But you've got to make sure that you're putting God first in everything you do. Amen. When you know, if I go fishing, we stop and get some breakfast somewhere, we're going to stop and thank God for that breakfast. Besides that, already before I go, I've already prayed and thanked Him for a safe trip. I've thanked Him for catching fish. I mean, I'm just thanking Him for it all because, I mean, He is my life. Now I'm going to enjoy myself. And, you know, if we don't catch many fish or whatever, that's okay. I'm still going to look around and see what a beautiful day God has given me. You see, that's putting Him first, admiring Him and letting Him be God in our life. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing like having the peace of God in your life. Knowing that you're living for Him. Knowing that you're putting Him first in your life. So, you know, I mean, we know things happen. We have troubles and stuff. But understand that God is always there with us when we're putting Him first. Come on now. You see, you've got to understand, God will do everything He can for you, but you're the one that limits Him. Come on now. Even in our prayers, if we're not careful, we can limit God even in our prayers. We want to make sure that we're praying to that point that when Jesus does come, we're ready. Let me show you something here in 1 Thessalonians. Go over there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 1 here. Paul writing here to the church at Thessalonica, he says this, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you." Now, I just could stop right there, too, because you ought to know about the times and the seasons. You're looking at me funny. You ought to know. You've got the Word of God that tells you things to be looking for. Amen. Jesus, he coiled that to some of them. He said, you know, you can look at the sky and say it's low ring and you'll say it's going to be sunny today or it's going to, you, in other words, he said, you can look at the sky and tell about the weather. Why can you not look around and discern the signs of the times? Everybody ought to be able to do that. You ought to be able to look around and see the signs of the times, you know. I mean, there's some crazy stuff going on in the world. But you can be blinded to the truth. And you can be blinded to some things. So he says, "But of the signs of times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Notice that. I love the fact here that it says, you know, sudden destruction. The day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. What's that mean? Well, you know, a thief comes in the night, you don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows when Jesus Christ is coming after the church. Jesus Himself does not know. The angels in heaven don't know. Only the Father. And Jesus is waiting for the Father to say, "Son, go bring my church home." Nobody knows that. Okay? He says when He comes on those that are asleep, in other words, those that have not acted on the Word of God, those that have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, when He comes, it says sudden destruction. Think about that for just a minute. Sudden destruction. But notice here it says for us, those that have been born again, those that accepted Jesus Christ, it says that God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now, see, I like that scripture because you hear people arguing all the time. You know, in the ministry world, you have those that are, you know, pre-tribulation. Y'all know what tribulation period is, right? Pre-tribulation are people that are mid-tribulation, and there are people that are, you've got to go through the tribulation. Well, I'm a pre-tribber, okay? Because I don't think we're going to have to go through any tribulation, because right here, this scripture says God's not appointed us to wrath. If you're a born-again child of God, I don't believe, you know, I mean, I can get there mid-trib because the Bible talks about the 144,000 Jews that are going to be preaching and the angels going to be preaching. So for the Jewish nation, but I think for us Gentiles, it's over. And that's my opinion. You can study it out and see what you think. You know, really, if you look after chapter 4 in Revelations, the church is gone. We're not there now. But that's neither here nor there. I just want to show you here that it says He's not appointed us to wrath. And notice it says, but we're appointed to salvation, to be saved. Okay? Now let me give Revelation 6, 12 through 17 to you, just because I want you to see this. It says, "And I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" What a time that'll be. Think about that. So not wanting to see Jesus that they would ask for the rocks to cry on them and kill them before. Like I said, I think the church has gone on in chapter 4 of Revelation. So we're talking about people that have been left. See, here's the thing you've got to understand. You better get ready, because the first thing going to happen is church going to get caught up. Those that are born again, serving God, those that are ready, we're going to get caught up to meet the Lord in the air, 1 Thessalonians says. Okay? So we know that's what we call the rapture. People say, "Oh, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible." That's right. It means catching up. We're going to be caught up together, the Bible says. We know that's going to happen, but then you've got that tribulation period after that, when all hell is going to be released on earth. When you take the church out, you're taking the body of Christ out of the earth. You understand that? And that's what's going to release the Antichrist to be able to do what he wants to do upon the earth. And people are going to have to endure that. And now that they know they've missed Jesus Christ, they can't look on Him. They'd rather rocks fall and kill them than have to look upon Him, because they know that they rejected Him and did not receive Him as Lord while they were upon the earth. Just something to think about. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Notice that. It says, you know, we've got the Word. We're hearing the Word. And it says, if we reject that, if we neglect that, what's going to happen with us? We have to understand that God has given us this time. He's given us this life right now to make preparations for heaven. But you have to choose to make that preparation. He's not going to make you. But He's telling us what happens if you don't. So, you know, He says, if it's held steadfast, He said, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You're not. There's two places that we're going to end up in eternity. No matter what, you're going to live forever. Please understand that. You're an eternal being. You will live forever. You have the choice of living forever in heaven, a place that's joy unspeakable, full of glory, you know, your mansion or whatever it is God's got prepared for us. It says He's preparing to prepare a place, but it talks about mansions before then. We don't know. It don't matter if it's God, it's good. Right? So it doesn't matter about that. You know, we just know that God's going to take care of us. You can spend eternity there, or you can spend eternity in hell, a place of torment, outer darkness, gnashing of teeth. That's the two places. Now, hell wasn't prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But it's the place that people that reject Jesus and don't receive Jesus into their life, people that would, I'm going to take that another step farther, people that would rather live this life and love this life and take a chance with their eternity. Because if you're going to live this life, you better live this life for God, because that's the only way that you're going to get to go to heaven. I'm going to give you one more scripture and we'll close this thing down. Revelation chapter 10. Listen to this. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders utter, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by Him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. What's that mean? That means it's coming to an end, church. It's going to come to an end. And if you're not ready, you'll be cast into a lake of fire before it's over with. Hell's not the worst thing. If you can imagine that. Hell's not the worst thing. The Bible says that death and hell will be brought out and be cast into the lake of fire. None of it meant for God's people. But you have to choose to be one of God's people. You have to choose that I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to put Him first in everything in my life. It's something you have to decide to do. So I'm going to just say this. Don't wait till it's too late. Start living for God right now. If you've been slacking, take up the slack. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, make Him Lord of your life. What are you waiting on? There is nothing in this world that's worth going to hell for. Nothing in this world that's worth missing out on heaven. God wants, and it's His desire for every person born on this earth to go to heaven. Isn't that something? That's how He loved it. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, that's all of us, would believe, wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. You have choices. Some folks are young. Some folks are older in here. We're different ages. But every one of us has to make that choice for ourselves. Every one of us got to decide to live for God and make Him Lord of our life. I'm going to tell you something. Life passes very quickly, and should Jesus tarry, you'll look around after a while and you'll look back and you'll say, wow, where'd all the time go? It just seems like yesterday that I was in my 20s. You know, my mind still feels like I'm in my 20s. But my body tells me I'm not. I can't do the things I once did when I was 20. I can do some of it, but I pay for it later. Yeah. The aches and pains is a little more, but you know what? I'm still thanking God for my health every day. Because I'm alive, I'm above the ground and living and enjoying life, and so it's good. You know, God is good all the time. But we have to look around and understand that now is the time to make that choice to live for God. And don't put it off. Don't wait. Because you don't know how much time you have. You don't know. You have to choose now. Would you stand to your feet with me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Father God, the words I've spoken, Lord, have taken root. And God, that today's the day somebody will say, you know what? It's time for me to tighten up the ship. Time for me to get things right with God. Time for me to get my life in order, putting God first before anything else. I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit will just move on every heart that needs to do that, Father. Whether they need to rededicate their lives or whether they need to just give their life to You for the first time. Lord, I thank You, Father God, that it's the Holy Spirit that draws. It's Him that puts it on the heart of men and women to come to You and surrender to You. So today, Holy Spirit, right now, move upon this congregation. Move upon the people, Lord. And we just give You honor and glory. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're in this place, that's you. You need Jesus in your life if you're in this place.